welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Good morning. Welcome to Awaken. We're so glad that you're here this morning to take time to gather as a community and worship and receive from God's Word. As we start off our gatherings, as we call them, we like to just take a moment to share a call to worship as we transition from how we've gotten here, the things of our day, the things of our weekend, into this space as we intentionally gather together. So I have a reading this morning from Reverend Gail Song Bantam. She's the lead pastor at Quest Church in Seattle. This is from a compilation of Meditations of Renewal, and it is called A Psalm of Possibility. She gives a little introduction and then the poem that she wrote. This is for all those who are confronted by seeming boundaries, limitations, and impossibilities. This is a psalm reminding us of who God is in God's holy otherness and God's holy withness. God, creator, hoverer, you speak and we form. You breathe life and we awake. You said, it is good, and we believe. God. The Red Sea before us shouting impossibility. They say we can't, we shouldn't, we wouldn't. Words seeded from our youth, the limits and the lies. There must be truer truths in us to confound, resist, defy. Created from nothing, said something, made everything. This God. The Lord will fight for us, so we need only to be still. Still our soul, stand out loud, trusting that God is El Roy, God who sees, bears witness to a name. At her sound, she leaps, demands possibility. Emmanuel, God with us, for us, within us, God. You said, it is good, and we believe. You breathe life, and we awake. You speak, and we form. Creator, hoverer, God. Come, let's worship.
All righty. Actually, you know what? I need to erase something, so carry on just for a moment. Wait a second. Here we go. Hey, everybody, how's it going? Everybody close your eyes. This is for later, all right? I forgot to do that. I got busy chatting. All right, there we go. Hey, friends, how's it going? My name's Micah. I'm one of the pastors here at Awaken. Very glad that you're here. Our other pastor got married last night, Jenna. Oh my gosh. So we have some flowers. We don't normally decorate the church with flowers. Not that we're opposed to flowers, but you know, we got this. And yeah, you guys, it was so great. I will just give this one bit. If you're on the Facebooks and on the Instagrams, like, be on the lookout, because there was a lot of video taken and there were a lot of Awakened dignitaries out there on the dance floor, okay? So like all of our staff, half of our board, which is like our pastoral advisory team, they were all still there when I left at like 11:45. And we went hard, you guys. It was so much fun. When you see Jenna, make sure to wish her congratulations. It was a very festive occasion, a lot of fun. So today, what are we doing today? Today is, Yeah, a couple of things before we get started. Number one, if you are new to Awaken, really glad you're here. We'd love to know that you were. There's some cards in the seat pockets in front of you. You can also go online and fill that out, and somebody from our team will reach out to you, invite you to a beverage of your choice. If you'd like to give or support Awaken financially, there's a couple ways to do that. I forgot to do that first hour, but there it is. It's pretty easy. So you can do, you can give online, you can text, you can QR code. There are also black boxes at each of the exits for the old school folks among us, which I appreciate. There's one family, like, you know, their little ones come every week and they put their little things in the offering. What is that even called? An offering basket? An offering box, which I think is great. So, couple of announcements. Number one, Trunk or Treat is happening next week. If you are not aware of this, we did it last year. It was great fun. Like, hundreds of kids from the neighborhood came, and we turn our parking lot into a trunk or treat maze with lots of trunks decorated, and kids get candy, and there's music and cider and all things fun. So if you're on the edge on that one, I'd like to just invite you to cross the threshold, you know, into the promised land like the Israelites in the Red Sea, all right? We need a few more trunks. That's the code word there. And if you are on the edge, I'd love to invite you to do that. And the other thing I would say is last year, if any of you were here, Josh and Kate Peterson made a library. So, like, they opened their trunk, and out came a library with a leather chair and ottoman and the whole deal. And kids, it was the sweetest thing in the entire world. Like, all the kids were around, and their kids just reading books to the kiddos. But they were all of her, like, books, you know, that they read to their kids at home. And it just killed, you know, tore her heart to pieces to, like, couldn't give all the books away, but wanted to. So this year, they're going to do it again. And if you are able, Kate's willing to, like, buy books and pick up books. If you want to donate books, you can do that. Or you can drop off cash at the Discover Awaken booth on your way out. Whoever's back there will grab that. Or if you're on, like, Awaken's Facebook page, her Venmo is on there. So you can just Venmo her a few dollars, and then she'll buy a bunch of books this year for the library, and we'll give those books away to the neighborhood, right? That'll be sweet. So that's Trunk or Treat. Fall partnership classes are coming. So if you are interested in being a partner at Awaken, which is what we call traditional members, we call partners, that's two classes, November 6th and 13th, right after the gathering, second hour, lunch is involved there. And then last but not least, second half of life folks are getting the band back together again. We met in the summer, and we're going to get together again. Some of you know Catherine Scipione, who leads our prayer ministry. She lives in a loft downtown Minneapolis, and we're going to Skip's party room. So it is going to be a hootenanny. You're not going to want to miss it. If that is you, and we just let you declare whether or not you're in the second half of life. So there you are. That's November the 3rd, Thursday night, and you can register online. Sound good? All other questions you might have in the Awaken Weekly, friends, it's an email we send out weekly. That's why it's called the Awaken Weekly. You can subscribe to that and get all the news. Which is a great show. Newsroom, if anybody has not seen Newsroom on HBO, check it out. So good. Just the opening scene alone is like cinematic beauty. Okay, here we are, Amos chapter 5. Stephanie, if you would come, we're going to read a word from Amos the prophet in chapter 5. So if you would like to stand, if you are able, invite you to receive and hear the word for the day, and then we'll jump in.
This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba, for Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He who made the Pleiades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is his name. With a binding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. There are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, though you have built stone mansions, you will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord God Almighty will be with you just as you say he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark without a ray of brightness? I hate, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me the sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty.
Pray with me. God, this morning as we gather, we do so in your name, Jesus, and we pray and ask that by your Spirit, you would be present to us, near us, and that you would remind us of what your heart is like, what your character is like, what kind of being you are and what you care about. And that that would shape and inform what we care about as individuals and as a church, I pray, in the strong name of Christ and by the power of the Spirit. And the church said together, amen. You may be seated. A real upper for this morning, eh? That's the prophet Amos, who has a word from God for the people of God. More about that in a moment. We are in the final week of our series entitled The Heart of Awaken, which is a series about what kind of church we want to be and the values that we declare that we want to center our lives around. And so we started with Jesus, because all good things start with Jesus, right? The life and teachings, the death and resurrection of this person, that out of that would emanate our life together as a community. Holism, this idea that the gospel is more than just about where we our souls go when we die, but actually about these bodies and about this world and God's care for it. And so if the good news is good news, then it is about all the bodies and all the people in the whole world. And so we want to be about that, proclaiming that gospel. We talked about hospitality on the weekend of the retreat. What does it mean to welcome? What does it mean to experience welcome as an extension of the welcome of God? To be intentional about creating space to welcome and host and provide for someone other than ourselves. So that when someone walks through these doors, they know that we've thought of them before they ever got here. We talked about authenticity a couple weeks ago, this idea of being credible and genuine articles of people who declare faith and then who are integrated, like whole, that there's not a dissonance or a disintegration between what we say and what we do and who we are. And then last week we talked about beauty as a survival in this world that we live in and as an act of resistance and as an invitation to justice, which leads us to today, this last value of justice. Amos the prophet, if you were paying attention in this passage alone, mentions God's care and concern about justice no less than four times. We see this all over the Bible. Let me just give you a few examples. Proverbs 31, bring about just righteousness. Open your mouth for those who can't speak for themselves. Jeremiah 22, thus says the Lord, bring about justice and righteousness. Rescue the disadvantaged. Don't tolerate oppression or violence against the immigrant, the orphan, or the widow. Isaiah 1, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. The psalmist in the 146th chapter, the Lord God upholds justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. He loves the righteous but thwarts the way of the wicked. And even Jesus gets in on it. Luke chapter 11, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe the mint, rue, and every herb, but neglect justice. We could keep going. I could literally spend the whole hour reading Bible verses that talk about justice. 143 times in the Bible, this topic is brought up. So if God cares about it, we should probably care about it, right? If Jesus cared about it, we should probably be concerned with it. So here's what I want to do today. I want to start with the character of God, and then I want to move to these words and what they actually mean in the Bible. Most of the passages we read are from the Old Testament, which is in Hebrew. So there's two words in Hebrew that get used, and they're really quite complex. They're the second one, a lot of the rabbis say, is the untranslatable word in Hebrew. But we'll try, because why not? And then I want to end with, how do I engage this topic of justice? If God cares about it, and if the Bible is concerned about it, and if Jesus thinks it's important, then how do we actually do that as a community? And so we'll end with some practical things. So let's begin with a really obvious statement, but one that I think is necessary to begin with on this topic, which is God is just. The nature of the divine being is justice. In God's character, God is just. Tim Keller writes it this way, biblical justice is not, first of all, a set of bullet points or a set of rules or guidelines. It is rooted in the very character of God and is the outworking of that character, which is never less than just. Right? So when we talk about biblical justice, it's not just because I think it's important, it's not just because it's mentioned a bunch of times, it's actually because the nature of God is just, never less than just. And so if God decided to create a world that bared or resembled God's image and creatures that resembled God's image, then it would follow that the world that God created, which bore its image, their image, would be a world of justice, that it would be just. Right? It couldn't be anything less than that because that's the very character of God. That's the nature of the divine. And so the outworking of that is that the world that we would live in and all of its relationships would be properly ordered, just. So the next question, you know, the million-dollar question then is, what is just? What is justice? And there are two Hebrew words that often get connected, put together, and they get translated justice and righteousness. I don't know if you noticed that in the passages. They're like twins. They're peas and carrots. They're always together. Mashed potatoes and gravy. What else could we say? They always go together. So let's take the first one. The Hebrew word is mishpat. It's justice. And it means a verdict, like favorable or unfavorable, like a judge who would declare a verdict in a courtroom. But it also has this idea of like right and proper and fitting. So it's yes, it is a declaration of a verdict of some sort, but it's a standard of relating to one another, one that is right and true and good. In English, the word justice means the maintenance or administration of what is just. So it's like the working out, the maintaining of what's just. Well, then, what is just? In English, the word just is conforming to a standard of correctness. So, it's the maintenance, the working out of, the administration of, conformation to a standard. The conforming of or to a standard that is good, that is right, that is true. So when something is just, it conforms to what it ought to be, what it should be, what's true and right. When something is unjust, the conformity to that standard is broken. It's misshapen. It's disordered. It's out of whack. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes this about law, this word mishpat. He says, law, mishpat, distinguishes between innocent and guilty. It establishes a set of rules binding on all by means of which the members of a society act in such a way as to pursue their own interests without infringing on the rights and freedoms of others. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Every person has inalienable rights to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? This is American democracy. This is the basis of it. That there would be laws that govern our life together that are based on a premise. And that premise is that every human has dignity, worth, and value. And so in theory, this is great, right? And we've seen how this gets worked out with, unfortunately, a cast of characters like you and I, right? Law, it's beautiful in theory, but then when it actually gets applied, sometimes it works, but sometimes it doesn't, depending on who you are. You know what I'm saying? So justice is for sure this idea of the conformity to what ought to be or should be, okay? Now, in Scripture, what's fascinating is this word, mishpat, goes in two directions: retributive justice and restorative justice. Retributive justice is like, you might think, retribution, like when someone gets what they deserve. When evil is done and wickedness is perpetrated, that person would be punished, right? Retributive justice. And then there is restorative justice, which is the restoration of those who are impacted by unjust systems. Now, here's a million-dollar question. Which one of those two ideas, restorative justice or retributive justice, do you think is used more in the Bible? Okay, we've got a few different ideas out there. It's actually restorative justice. When mishpat is used in the Bible, 8 out of 10 times, it's talking about restorative justice. Retributive justice is absolutely in Scripture. It's there. But it is almost always, if not always, connected to the divine being and God's working out of justice, which can happen. Because if I'm involved in retributive justice, it's like the pot calling the kettle black, right? I'm a perpetrator of the unjust. I participate in the unjust system. I'm guilty of unjust behavior. So when justice is talked about in the Bible, it's important to note that when it's retributive, it's God's job, not yours, not mine. And when it's used more often, it's restorative justice, which is the constant and common invitation of God to the people of God. 143 times justice is used in the Bible. 8 out of 10 of those times it's restorative justice, and it's an invitation by God to the people of God to participate in the restoring of those, the coming under, the supporting, the loving, the caring for, those who are affected by unjust systems and scenarios in their world. Isn't that fascinating? That's mishpat. The other word that gets translated, righteousness, is tzedakah. Tzedakah means to be right or to be in right relationship or to be made right. It's an ethical standard that refers to relationships between people and the divine. So righteousness isn't just about me and my holiness or my standing, but rather it's about my relationality, my relationship status with my neighbor, with the world that I live in, and with God. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, again, he talks about tzedakah as distributive justice. That this word has to do with when the resources of the world are distributed equally based on the fact that all humans have equal dignity, value, and worth. And so tzedakah, righteousness, happens when that's true and real. So the Bible says, seek justice, live out righteousness. This, by the way, was what the Israelites were called to do. It's called the way of the Lord. This is what Abraham was invited to do, to live out the way of the Lord, to seek justice and righteousness, mishpat and tzedakah. These two words together, Abraham Joshua Heschel, maybe you're familiar with him, has written a number of books, a very good one on Sabbath. He says it this way about these two words: righteousness goes beyond justice. Justice is strict and exacting. It gives each person his due. Righteousness implies benevolence, kindness, generosity. Justice is a form, a state of equilibrium. Righteousness has a substantive associated meaning. Justice may be legal, but righteousness is associated with a burning compassion for the oppressed. So, God is just. The world that God made was intended to be just. This word justice and righteousness in the Bible are these things that we've talked about. Now, what does it mean for you and I to actually engage in this word, these ideas, as a community? If, in fact, the common invitation by God is to be participating, seeking, looking after, like, pining for restorative justice, how do we do that? Allow me to draw, if I may, today. And hopefully you don't remember what you saw, because then it would be more fun, because it'll be a surprise. Imagine a world, if you would, with me, where there are shapes created by a divine being to be a shape. Squares, circles, stars, diamonds, parallelograms, rhombus. Septagons? Hexagons. Right, you get what I'm saying. And in this world, these folks, like, they're everywhere, right? And there's lots of them. And they're created to be, they each have equal worth and dignity and value. No one shape is better than the other. The square can't say to the circle, like, I'm better than you. No, no, they both were created by the same divine being. But in this world that they've been given to live in, there are many scenarios where they find themselves. This is the classic camp story right here. We're going to draw a cross here. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes there are rivers that flow, and these rivers make canyons, and there are chasms that just cannot be crossed. And so in the course of shape life, shapes build bridges, right, to cross over so that shapes can be shapes in the world and do what they were meant to do, each one of them. But over the course of time, these bridges that get built, they somehow develop holes in them that look like certain kinds of shapes, like circles or squares. And so when the star crosses the bridge, all is well, friends. The stars can just be stars. And so they cross over the bridge, and there's stars everywhere over here. They're just doing what they do. And the diamonds, you know, they cross over because there's no holes that look like them, and they're over here living life, doing their thing. But when the square tries to be the square and just do what it does, cross over the bridge, it falls into, well, the hole that looks, that is the shape of it. And unfortunately, there is a raging rapids down here. And so the squares and all the circles end up in the river, which is a terrible tragedy, don't you think? For the shapes. I mean, no fault of their own. They're just shapes. And somehow, on this bridge, there are holes that they fall through. So here's the payout on this. Here's where I want to connect this for us as a community of believers who follow this Jesus, who cares about justice because it's the nature of God. There is upstream work in the work of justice. And by that I mean, if in fact all the shapes are made in the image of God, if they all bear dignity and value and worth that is equal, then there ought to be some stars and some diamonds who are asking, who made that bridge? And who funded it? And how did they get those holes in the bridge? Like, were there tools that were used to cut those holes? And can we figure out a way to get rid of those tools so that people stop making those holes in that bridge? And who are the people who we elected to care for and protect the squares and the circles? Are they doing that work of protecting the squares and the circles like they are the stars and the diamonds? Right? This is upstream work in the work of justice. What are the things, Reverend Dr. John Perkins says, justice is where the wholeness of God is where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. The wholeness of God exists, this is justice, where the wholeness of God exists and there's nothing missing or nothing broken. And are not the people of God throughout Scripture invited to ask who's missing and what's broken? What do these passages say if not that? So who are the people who follow Jesus, who bear the image of God that made us, who are asking who made that bridge and who funded that bridge and what are the tools used to create those holes and why are they even there, right? That's the upstream work. There are systems and structures and institutions and organizations and things that happen in our world that impact people's real lives, squares and circles. Who are the people asking those kinds of questions? I would submit to you, according to the scriptures and the witness of Jesus, that that is the invitation of God for us to be people who are asking those kinds of questions about these kinds of scenarios. There is also downstream work. Injustice. There is the work of advocacy and institutional change and lobbying for laws that impact people's lives differently than they are now. That's upstream. And there is downstream work, which is the act of compassion, mercy, and justice, or compassion and mercy, where there's a whole bunch of squares and circles drowning down here in the river, and somebody, people who bear the name of Jesus, are invited to show up downstream on the edge of the river and say, hey, here's a lifeline. Here's a towel. Can we dry you off? Here's a warm meal. Here's a bed you can sleep in tonight. Because you somehow ended up in this river. And I don't know exactly how that happened, but I care about the fact that you're in the river, and I want to try to help you get out of it. There is upstream work in justice, and there is downstream work in justice. And I want to just offer the possibility that there are people in this room who are gifted to do both of those things. Because we're the body of Christ. And the Spirit says that the body of Christ, it gifts the body to do the work that we've been called to do. So there are people in this room right here who are upstream doing this kind of work, who are working in law, who are working in systems and education, there was a guy here this morning who's running for political office. There's another guy I know who's trying to be on the school board, right? Those are upstream conversations about what actually happens in our kids' schools and how do they actually get funded and who builds those bridges. That's the work of the gospel, people. If you think I'm crazy, just read your Bible. This is what it says over and over and over again. That's gospel work. So, to the church gathered this morning, what's in your hand? Do you have those kinds of gifts? And justice is not a program. It's an awareness. I'm not going to create some program that you can participate in as a church and then say, we do justice. That's not my job. My job is to put in front of you the truth of God's word and say, I'm inviting you to live into it. So, for you, what do you have in your hands? What gifts do you bear? What are you doing in your workplace? Is there any way in which you can see work that looks like this in the places you live? Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe it's as a mom. Maybe it's as a dad. Maybe it's as a lawyer or a doctor or a dentist, right? But those are the questions that happen upstream. And then there are those of you in this room who are gifted to just like a cold cup of water in Jesus' name. There's a woman who sits right down here in first hour, and she every Tuesday, she just goes out with a group of people called Walking with a Purpose, and they just wander around St. Paul and find the people who are unhoused in St. Paul, and they just ask, what do you need? We got two buses stocked full of things that you might need. Food, water, lights, batteries, tobacco. What do you need? And they just here, come to the bus. That's downstream. Is it fixing the problem of unhoused people? No, it's not. But it is sure caring about the fact that they're going to lay their head in somewhere that's not a home. So to the church gathered in Jesus' name, as a church who says they care about and want to value justice, we are committed as a church, organizationally, institutionally, we're committed to honoring the justice of God and the just nature of God by both advocating for change upstream in advocating, in working in systems and structures and institutions that oppress, right? The word for poor in Hebrew comes from the root word, which means to be made lowly by force. How fascinating is that? So we're committed to working to advocate for change in systems and structures and institutions that are unjust, to ask the questions that need to be asked. We're committed to that. We're also committed to caring for those who are impacted by those systems. And as a church, we've said specifically, some people in our neck of the woods, in our neighborhood, our neighbors, the unhoused, the hungry, the enslaved, the refugee, BIPOC people in our neighborhoods, right? So we support with resources that come from this community, International Association for Refugees, International Justice Mission, Every Meal, giving kids food that need it, Aim Die Young, Indigenous youth in our city, and our garden outside. These are things we're doing as a church, which are your funds, and we're you are a part of that, which is great, and I'm super proud and glad. But justice isn't a program. It's an awareness. And I want to invite you, follower of Jesus, church member, participant in this community, to be aware of the fact that we live in a world that is not reflected of God's design and dream, right? In the video at the beginning, we exist, like, wake up to God's dream for the world. That's what we're talking about when we say that. It's not some fairy tale. God has hopes and dreams for this world that are not being lived out. And the call of the people of God is to be engaged in that process of restoring, of coming under, of being a part of, well, restoring justice and those who have been affected by. So, I'll ask you this morning, in your world, who's missing and what's broken? And how do you work for that? In the world that you live in, with the resources you have, if you're the widow who walks in with the one mite, how do you invest that in this cause? Because this is the gospel. This is the good news. If the good news isn't good news for everybody, it's not good news for anybody. Do you believe that? If the good news of Jesus is only good news for people with certain skin colors and certain economic status, socioeconomic statuses, it's not good news for anybody. It's got to be good news for everybody. So to the church, I want to, like, deploy you into the world with knowledge and an awareness that this matters to God. This is what God's heart is like. This is what God is like. This breaks God's heart. This makes God angry. I don't want your songs, your festivals. Stop, he says. It's clanging cymbals. It's noise in my ears. Why? Because you refuse to participate, to see what's happening right around you. So, friends, this is something I'm learning how to do, that we're learning how to do, and we're inviting you to participate with us in it. So in your world, what's missing, what's broken, and how do you engage as a follower of Jesus? It's justice. Pray with me. God, this morning, as we take just a moment to be still, to be quiet, to think about this word from the prophets, from the Psalms, from Jesus, maybe even from a nobody pastor in a small town, I pray that by your Spirit you would remind us of what you are like, of who you are, what you care about, what makes you angry, what makes you sad. And I pray that those things would make us sad, maybe even make us angry, that they would push us into spaces of action and of advocacy and of care, of mercy, compassion, for the sake of Jesus and the good news. So Holy Spirit, find us now, speak to us, I pray. As we close this morning, we want to invite you to the table to continue in worship and response. And so in just a moment, I'll invite you to come down the side aisles. There's a little sanitizer at the stations there, and you'll come to the center. There's gluten-free bread. We'll invite you to take a piece of that bread, dip it in the cup. There's white grape juice and red wine. And as you do, you'll hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you." Because on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "This is my body broken for you. So whenever you eat of it, do it in remembrance of me." In the same way, after dinner, he took a cup and blessed it. He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. And so when you drink of this, remember me. Don't forget who I've been and what I've called you to be." This is the table of the Lord, not the church. It's made ready for those who love God and those who want to love God more. So if you've been here often, or it's been a long time, or maybe never before, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. You who have tried to follow and you who have failed, these are still the gifts of God for the people of God. So come, not because I invite you, but because the resurrected Christ invites you to come, to be known, to be fed, to be sent back out into the world as good news. The kids will come down first and we'll bless them with some honey, and then Mel will lead us in song and we'll invite you to come and receive communion this morning. So. To the church called Awake and Gathered this morning. It's October the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken. And it's about 3 weeks or so from a really important day in the life of our country, our state, our city, where we get to vote. And so as one of your pastors, I want to encourage you, this election, when, like, the presidential election isn't up, Like, these are the ones that really matter, because, like, school boards get decided, and city council people get appointed, and they make laws and change policies in, like, your kids' schools and in your cities. So I would just highly recommend, I would exhort you, this is one of the ways that you can be a follower of Jesus and use the voice that you have. So who's on the ballot? And what do they stand for? What are the kinds of things that they want to see happen in your community? And use your vote on behalf of yourself, but also on behalf of the folks who maybe don't have the position that you have. And use your voice. That's easy. We can do that. So, research. Get on the internets. Google. And do that as a person who's committed to this way of being in the world, following Jesus. So, leave with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the church said together, amen. Grace and peace, friends. See you next week.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity
or on Twitter at awakencommunity.
See you next time.